Hey everybody, and welcome to the August, and I know it's September 1st, but it is the August Skewed and Reviewed Skewed Cast. I'm Gareth of Skewed and Reviewed. With me as always is Joseph from our Seattle office and Justin from the nether regions of Arizona. And you know, by that I mean Arizona State University area graduate. No, I'm kidding. You did graduate, didn't you?
I did.
He says that with, you know, feigned resignation. My sister was given an option. She was talking about this one where she could have a choice to go between ASU and U of A. And I said, why don't you just go to a good school? And she got all bent out of shape. And I said, they're talking online, right? And she's like, no, it's a campus one. I said, all right, flip a coin then. But, you know, what can I say? Anyway, we're back from PAX Prime, most of us. And we're recovering. You know, our camera guy, Neil Jordan, has sent me the first wave of photos, 640 of them, and I've just gone through pre-show the first 125, so we'll be getting those online, which is always fun. You know, do you put them in collections? Do you try to mix and match and put them in some kind of collection? We have plenty of video coming up, as well as an interview with the executive producer of the upcoming game Battleborn. We have an interview we're putting online for Myonix that we're going to be talking about soon, as well as Ben Linus himself from Lost. We're going to be talking about Michael Emerson and his new series, Person of Interest. And my wife has got some interesting ones that'll be basically blackmail material of Joseph I, Rev from KSWFM, BJ Shea's Morning Experience, Geek Nation, jamming out to Rock Band, and we also have some very interesting and potentially embarrassing video of us using Project Morpheus, a fantastic virtual reality set from Sony that's coming for the PlayStation 4. We'll be talking about that very, very soon. I'll try not to mention my wonderful descent last night through a thunderstorm. Thank you very much.
Hey, we're still alive, right?
Yeah, and you know, to be fair, that circling for 25 minutes paid off. Outside of a couple of jolts coming down through the clouds, it was fairly smooth. So, you know, and I came back to lightning, but I mean to light it, meaning the house had lights and stuff like that. So, yay for us there. Anyway, let's talk about some technology before we get moving, and a couple of DVDs, and then we'll swing into things. First thing I want to talk about is brand new mouse from Myonix, and this is the Caster multicolored ergonomic optical gaming mouse. And while that certainly sounds like a mouthful, you can get it for $69.99 and under. It's been so popular, it's currently out of stock at Amazon.com. Now, the Caster is a premium six-button multicolored optical mouse that is designed for the right-handed ergonomic grip for those who want that type of gaming mouse. The shape has been crafted to be used by right-handed gamers and is equally support palm, claw, and fingertip grip. The mouse has a dedicated pinky and ring finger support groove, which makes it very, very comfortable to hold and lift. Now, other things you like about it is that we talked different grips that are ideal for whatever is your, you know, style of play. You have four layers of rubber coating, which can optimize the textures to basically ensure that the maximum grip always keeps a soft touch feel to it. You have zero accelerator sensor with up to, 1000 DPI and, 10,000 DPI. That's scary. You got four zeros on that thing. Tracking, no positive or negative hardware acceleration. You have a 32-bit ARM processor running at 32 megahertz. They're saying this is the fastest engine ever to power a mouse like this. And they say it's trouble-free, quick responses, setting in game, and you have six fully programmable buttons. Now, of course, the great thing is you also get, you know, the lighting that goes with it, which is always a great thing. So we're going to be talking a lot of stuff about that. Of course, the big thing, yes, it looks good. Yes, it feels good. How does it perform? Fantastic. And remember what I said earlier, it's sold out at Amazon currently. So that should be a clue when a product of this sort sells out and they do not have it in stock, that there's demand for it. This is a company that's been around for 8 years now. They continue to make great products, fantastic craftsmanship, and their goal is to basically build the best gaming mouse available. They said with the Caster, they've created a beautiful and fine piece of craftsmanship, and they say it's unrivaled in comfort, quality, and performance. In our earlier test, I've definitely been very impressed with it, And some of the other reviews out there have said it's been a very fantastic mouse in terms of giving you a very comfortable grip, as well as good response time, easy access to buttons, and of course you can program and assign the macros to the customizable, and do your polling rate to 125, 250, 500, 1000 hertz, DPI can go anywhere from 50 to 10,000, and that gives you roughly a maximum speed of 5.45 M's per second, and that is pretty darn impressive, and so you can definitely check that out. Other pieces of hardware I want to check out, going to the other extreme, is the JM0800 mouse from Cherry. Now, this is an interesting thing. This is a value line mouse. Now, you look at the thing, you play the thing, and you go, wow, this is a really good mouse. This is, you know, playing out really well. And it is a corded mouse featuring a modern design and excellent price performance ratio, and I'll get to that in a minute. Comfortable three button, symmetrical design. And it works for both left and right-handed users at a 1200 DPI resolution. And it requires a single USB port for operation, plug-and-play mouse, very durable, designed for multi years of use. Now, here is where it gets interesting. Take a wild guess over how much this mouse costs. Take a shot, guys.
$50.
Yeah, lower.
Wow, really?
Really?
$30.
Keep going.
$15.
Lower. Lower.
You're
their suggested retail on it, unless it was a typo, was $8.
Wow.
That's what I said. I was like,
yeah, that's practically giving it away. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
I don't see how they can even recoup the cost to make it.
Now, and here's the thing. Here's the thing. Obviously, you're not lighting the thing up. You know, it's not going to come with all these different, lights, bars, and everything like that. But you've got yourself a rather interesting product. So, the JM0800 corded mouse with an optical sensor. So, it does make you wonder, because I was sitting there looking at it going, you're kidding me, right? And they're like, So, we will see. We will see if that turns out to be a typo or that's actually it. But, in the very basic stuff, we whipped it around on a laptop. We whipped it around on a couple of platforms. And we have someone actually doing some stress testing on it now. And so we'll see how that plays out. But not to be undone, and this is where it really just, was like, wow, this has blown me out. This is basically what the guy wrote to me. He said, he's talking about the review samples come up. He goes, for $8, it is a great mouse. And I was like, okay. And the other thing about it is they have the MX board 6.0, and this is something we also have, some information coming on. Cherry, as anybody may or may not know, made their name with their keyboards, especially mechanical keyboards and high-performance ones. So they have a brand new one out, as I said, the MX boards, and this is a new line of series. And, everybody always talks about how durable it is, how responsive it is, how's it look. Let's put it this way. It's a solid piece of keyboard that looks very good, works fantastically, and is durable. So how's that for a very initial first impression of the thing? And, of course, guys, I forgot to mention, the Call of Duty Black Ops beta on PC is good through tonight. So perhaps after the we are done recording, we should do a quick session and see just how pathetic all three of us can be in a game trying to be. I did get to 32 on the kill count the other day in one game. I want to clear that up. Someone said, how many games was that? One. Basically, if it moved, it died. And full disclosure, I died about 50-something times getting that, but damn it, I got my 30-something kills in. So, as we talked about, it's just like life. Just hit the space bar and you get a do-over. So, if only, right? So, switching gears over to DVDs before we get on to the nuts and bolts of the show, we want to talk about the great stuff that is coming out from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. And the great thing from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment is DVDs. Supernatural. Guys, can you believe it is the 10th season of the show already? 5 hours.
I haven't seen past season one.
Oh, great. Thanks. That's going to make this useful. Good job there. You know what? We should make him do the review. You get to see season 10 and only season 10. And you
start talking now.
And you want to know? I'm going to take a quick side note from this. Hopefully they won't find too much. I'll finish the DVD reviews and then I'll mention it. 5 hours of bonus content from the CW includes the Blu-ray and the digital HD version, which means you get short of you having an ultra-high-def TV feed, you're getting a better quality picture than you're getting at home. You get, of course, the episode commentary, you get all the behind-the-scenes features, you got and I love this, they've been doing this with their recent DVD and Blu-ray releases. I think this is fantastic. I wish more companies would do that. They're putting they don't do the 2015, because obviously they're talking about the season to come, but they do the 2014 Comic-Con panel. So essentially, you get the full panel of these guys at Comic-Con talking about the show and the season that is upcoming. So after you see the season, you can look back and you can see kind of the hints and stuff that they have done. And I think that's great. I'd love to see more companies showing their Comic-Con panels on these things. And, of course, you get the unaired scenes and the ever-popular gag reel. Now, another one that I know you guys are going to be really excited over is this thing called Gotham, which is now available on Blu-ray and digital HD, also from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. You get the Blu-ray, you get the digital version of it. Now, unfortunately, I don't see a Comic-Con panel on it, or do I? You get the behind-the-scenes stuff, you get the usual stuff that you'd expect, a lot of behind-the-scenes featurettes. You get an interesting one. Now, you don't have a Gotham panel per se, get the DC Comics Night at Comic-Con 2014. And of course you also get something about this show called The Flash, and Constantine and Arrow included in it, as well as the gag reel and the deleted scenes. Now, I personally think gag reel alone would be worth the price of the DVD set. Forget the fact that you also get the fantastic Blu-ray picture and sound quality as well, so check that out. I'm really looking forward to digging into that and seeing how that all plays out. And the whole reason I had mentioned that is, and of course, the street date for Gotham is September 8, 2015. You can get it on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital HD starting on that date. And, it's the complete first season. They're not playing that game that some people do where you get, like, Season 1, Volume 1. So it is everything right there, and it'll give you a chance to power through and get ready just in time for the upcoming fall season. And the reason I was snickering a bit there, folks, is that, as you know, my wife, many of you may not know, but Justin, you both met her. You know her mom is there Filipino, and so her mom was watching her Filipino dramas on the Filipino networks and stuff like that. And my wife posted something on Facebook basically saying when mom tries to, she had to go online to look up the show in the series, because when mom was trying to describe what was going on in English, the adjectives were getting, that's the guy who did the thing and he raped that one girl and then he got killed by the other guys, and she was like just completely lost trying to figure out the storylines. And it made me think about, boy, Joseph would be in that same category if we dropped him into season 10 and said, and part of me says, that'd be fun, but we wouldn't be that mean. And I got thinking, who do we know that would be really good to do that to? And I think we have a candidate, Joseph, don't you?
I think so.
Yeah, I think Neil the photographer, who does a lot of our art in the films, would definitely be a good one to do that. The problem is with Neil, he'd be like, hey, this is pretty good, I'm going to watch the shows. Problem is, Neil would watch it backwards. He'd go like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, going, hey, who's that guy? Oh, wow, they're dead. those are the kind of things we might have to deal with. But,
you know, like Steve Miggs from the BJJ Morning Show up here, or what's BJJ Miggs Mornings now. He did that with Breaking Bad. He came in, he watched the series finale, and then went back and watched the entire series. And he says it was a really, like, obviously he has nothing to compare it to in watching it front to back, but it was a very unique way to enjoy the series because you know what's coming, and now you're seeing how you got there.
Yeah, that could be interesting, kind of like those people that do those sacrilegious things like watch episode 1, 2, and 3 first.
Oh my god, no.
Yeah.
The correct viewing order is always 4, 5, 2, 3, 6, and you don't even look at 1.
You know, and they're, you know, you got a very good point there. I think that is the correct way of doing it. Now,
yeah, because it's great, because you get Luke Skywalker's story in episodes 4 and 5, and at the end of 5, you discover that Darth Vader is his dad. And then you go a flashback, and you get to see the story of Anakin in episode 2 and 3, and how he became who he is.
And then, you
and then 6 wraps it up. And then you don't even have to worry about midi-chlorians or Jar Jar Binks.
You know what? That's
like
it, man. Wrap it up. let's print that. That's it. The definitive edition right there. And email from Disney in 3, 2, 1.
Yep.
There it is. Yeah. This would be one of those times where you kind of negotiate saying, we're willing to play Scummy Pirates or something in one of the films. You can even kill us. We don't care. Just... My own catch would be, money would be nice, but I want an action figure.
Right?
Want the action figure and merchandising, and you will have to pay me for that, because you know, I want to be one of those guys that's at a convention in your 60s going, yeah, I'll sign this picture, kid.
$10.
Yeah, $10. But you were in the film for 5 seconds. $20. Because you saw me. Anyway. Let's talk about things that we saw, PAX Prime. But before that, Justin, we're not going to let you off the hook. You've got your gaming releases for the week. What do you got?
So we got Disney Infinity, Mad Max, and Metal Gear. Like, big, pretty big boot week.
Which Disney Infinity is this?
You know, honestly, I didn't pick it up, so... There you go.
Or as they're unofficially calling it, the 3PO edition.
Yeah.
That was my wife came up with that one. She said, I think they missed a golden opportunity. They should have called it the 3PO edition.
Oh, absolutely.
And let's not forget, folks, it's not all Star Wars. The Inside Out is also, kits are also coming as well.
Absolutely. Just the Star Wars sets are available today, though. They have, for the Xbox One, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, they have your standard bundle, which includes two characters, and it's Anakin and... Ahsoka Tano. And you get the... the Twilight of the Republic playset piece. But big news for PlayStation 4, and of course I'm sure this made Microsoft very happy, is they have the Saga Bundle. And the Saga Bundle comes with the base, the 3.0 game, the same stuff, the Republic playset, the Ahsoka Tano figure, the Anakin Skywalker figure, but you also get the Star Wars Rise Against the Empire playset piece, the Luke Skywalker figure, the Princess Leia figure, and the exclusive, not coming to Microsoft for at least a couple months, from what I understand, but Boba Fett.
Yeah, right.
And as well as a couple of codes for unlocks on PC or mobile and different things like that.
Hey guys, how many of you are planning on getting the PlayStation 4 version of this?
I am.
Yeah, because we definitely need to do some streaming with this, because there's there are some interesting little twists to this. Like, for example, when I was playing it at D23 and Jen was playing it, I asked, hey, how about I decide to mix things up a little bit and bring Tony Stark and the 2.0 boys in to kick some butt on Hoth?
Right.
And they're like, yeah, it's not going to work.
Really?
To be fair, it will not work in the campaigns, but if you want to do the toy box and create your own worlds, absolutely, everyone's in.
Yep.
But you can create your own Star Wars worlds and put the Marvel guys in them. Because I thought about it, and my question was basically going to be, what weapons do Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck bring into the party? You know,
right?
Olaf. What is Olaf bringing in?
Didn't you know his nose is a light?
Yes. And like Anna and Elsa and Let It Go and all that good stuff, you know. All right, hey, I'm in Hoth. Here's frozen snow. Great, big deal.
Oh, they're all Force users. We know this.
I know, so. You know, that, well, that, yeah, it's true. Especially now. Especially now. And then, you know, and then there's Woody and all those guys. And, you know, what happens if you bring Rage into Hoth and he really blows his top, literally? You know,
yeah.
These are traumas waiting to happen, folks. So,
oh,
anyway. What else do you have for us, Justin?
I think those are the three big releases. And, you know, I'll be... I was really looking forward to Mad Max. I've actually been hearing... Well, depending on where you look, I've been hearing some pretty good things about it. But I'm a pretty big Metal Gear guy, so that's what I'll be glued to for the next couple weeks.
Well, that's good, because I don't think Gareth and I are, so at least we'll have somebody to talk about it.
About Metal Gear. Well, we also have... it's going to be interesting, because we can get a interesting comparison, because Gabe has actually told me he is going to... He's basically on it right now as we talk. He's playing away.
Okay.
So, you know, that's going to be like, hey, the two of you can get in there and, you know, really kick some butt and do something about that. So, because I'm really curious to see if you guys can pull that off.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, that's that. And what else do you have for us?
The other thing, I think those are the three big releases. I know... I've been kind of revisiting Diablo 3 recently. They just released a big old patch with new content in it. So if you have a old copy of that, you can dust it off.
Yeah, that's true. And there are always some other things out there to definitely, you know, there are some other interesting things that you could definitely look into to go that way. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out down the road. So, other things of note you want to look at. What else is there something out there that you may want to have a look at?
You know, I think those were just the three that I know of.
Okay, well, the great thing about it is, you know, Mad Max, I played it at San Diego Comic-Con. We've done some stuff on it. We obviously saw it at PAX Prime, so we're kind of waiting to see how that all... plays out, but definitely it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. So, talking about playing out, it's time to talk PAX Prime, and Joseph, you're up. Let it rip.
Oh, man. Okay, so I had three pretty big highlights from PAX this weekend. The first one's obvious. It's going to be the talk probably in the next 6 to 7 months until it hits the market, but man, virtual reality. The different... We got to experience two of the different technologies that are out there, the Project Morpheus from Sony and then the Oculus, which was partnered up with NVIDIA. So I'm just going to kind of go in order of the way we hit it, because that's what it is in my memory right now. So we started Friday morning at PAX with Project Morpheus. And Gareth, you got to play the soccer ball one, is that it?
Yeah, Headmaster.
Yeah, I played that one on Monday, actually, but... I sat down first with the London Heist, and it was a very interesting experience. Man, I'm telling you, you get into this thing, and I was a bit skeptical about VR, given my experience with the Virtual Boy all those years ago. I've tried not to follow too much of the news and pictures and videos and stuff that's been out there, because I wanted to experience it fresh when I first did. And that's definitely what happened with this. I mean, I start off sitting down, and there's this bald British guy in front of me yelling at me, telling me, what happened to Heist? What happened went wrong? Like, it wasn't my fault. It's only the two of us, and it's got to be your fault. And somebody calls, and they're like, don't worry about it. Just tell me what happened. And, like, I'm looking around the room, and this guy's threatening me with a blowtorch. It looks so real.
Especially
like,
when you look behind you and you see that pile of tires and everything.
You know, I mean, everything is covered in this game, and... Or at this demo, and all of a sudden, like, okay, we flash back to the Heist, and you're searching this desk for a key to open a locked area, and it has a diamond in it, and as soon as you grab that diamond, like, guys just start pouring into the room, and you have to defend yourself, and of course, you remember seeing a gun in the drawer, so you gotta grab that gun, you gotta load it, and you gotta shoot, and you actually have to get down and duck behind the desk, and it was so, like, even though I couldn't feel, like, actual physical feel these bullets, like, whizzing by my head, it still felt like it, because that's how real it looked, and the eyes were playing the tricks on the brain and everything. It was just, it was amazing. Later that day, we hit up the Oculus, and we did three different things. I know, Gareth, you did one that was slightly different than mine, but for the most part, we did the same thing. The first one, do you remember what it was called? It was the spaceship, where we got to go into space. It was hyper...
It was it like one of Eve Valkyrie or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. So, you were ejected into space, and you're
in a fighter. Well, in a fighter. They did.
Yeah.
They were kind enough to give us that, you know...
Right. It was just like a snub fighter. Think, you know, think X-Wing, although that's not what it was, but it's very similar. And you're kind of just out there floating around, figuring out what to do, and then all of a sudden, a bunch of ships just come out of, like, hyperspace, or they jump in and they start attacking. And your job is to defend the mothership with the big ship that you flew out of. And it was so easy to get turned around in there that I kind of lost track of who I was supposed to be firing on. And there was no, like, really usable radar on the screen, which was really unfortunate. But just like with Project Morpheus, you look all around you and you're in the cockpit of this thing. You've got the seat head behind you. You've got all the controls. You can look into space. You can pitch. You can roll. Everything is fantastic. And when I finally did die, because they got me, the glass all blew inward. You look down, your body's like frozen solid from the cold of space and everything, and it was just, it was very, very interesting. Though it didn't feel as submersive as the Morpheus did. And I don't know if that was the environment that I was in, the fact that I was using a controller versus with the Morpheus, I had the PlayStation Move controllers and actually moving around hands and things on the screen. The next thing with Oculus, we did, I did a bow and arrow training, and where I would have to actually reach behind my head and grab an arrow and knock it and try to shoot targets that release balloons. Then I had to try to pop the balloons, and that was interesting, trying to get things to aim. And you could tell that they still have a little bit of work to do with some of it, because I felt like I was spot on a couple times and it just totally missed the balloon or even the target itself. And then the final one was a Portal 2 environment. And that one was pretty funny. Like, they did a great job of working with Valve. And Valve helped with the bow and arrow one, too. But they did a great job working with Valve and creating this environment and incorporating the humor that you're used to, that you've seen in the Portal series, into this demo. And it, even to the point where it's like, hey, like, it's teaching you how to use it, and it's like, open that drawer, and you open it up, oh no, that's the wrong one, now you're their god, and like these little people running around, and it was pretty humorous. And at one point, the entire room, like, you're in this little, probably like, what would you say, like, it was a 10 by 10 room, maybe 16 by 16?
I think that's about right.
And it just kind of falls away, and you're in this expansive factory, and the floor starts falling from below you, and your instinct is you start backing up. You know, because you don't want to fall and everything. I was really tempted to just walk forward and see what would happen. and, you know, everything kind of plays out. They got their humor, and it comes back, and you're done. And when you take off the Oculus, you kind of totally forgot that you're standing in this small enclosed space in the center of an expo hall in downtown Seattle. And, it was really submersive. Now, the only thing that took me out of it that kind of made me feel like a little less involved, like I did with the Morpheus, was that, especially in the Portal, if you looked down, there's no body, there's no hands, you see like kind of some facsimiles of the controllers that you're using in the screen, but it kind of takes you out of the experience a little bit. I hope that, I understand that that's, you know, the way some of the games are going to play, but I really hope to see Oculus show something where it doesn't have that. You look down, you see a body, and you see feet, you see hands, you see something that shows your representation.
Yeah, that's a really interesting way of looking at it.
But so that was VR, and if I had to pick one, I'd probably go with Sony over the Nvidia right now, and it's mostly because of that taking me out of it. But I just seem to have more fun with it, especially when I went again on Sunday and you got to do the monster one. Do you remember that one, Gareth?
Yes.
You, that monster pacing through the city, and you. you're not using your controls on this time, but you're using your head to like break buildings and throw things at these little robots that you're chasing. And when you get to the end, the robots are trying to throw stuff at you to kill the monster, and you just kind of have to dodge out of their way and everything. I was there, and the person I was playing with, we took her out when she was the monster pretty easily, but it was interesting seeing her, her expression when she put the goggles on first, and the monster and the robot one is a little more cartoony, not as real as the London Heist, but it was just that sense of wonderment when you put on the Morpheus, and you're kind of transported to this other world, and it was very exciting to see the wonderment on her face when she was doing it.
Right, exactly. And the great thing about it, too, is there was just so much interactive stuff for us to play with, not just counting the 3D stuff.
For me, the
taking out the virtual reality, the greatest thing in the show, once again, like at E3, Battleborn. And, you know, we had numerous sessions on this, and then they just blow our minds by going, we're so used to don't take any pictures, no, you can't take any videos, or at the very least, you can take it over the shoulder at an angle from a distance. And they're like, if you have any hard drives, you can hook them up and we'll shadow play it, directly capture it. You're like, okay. So,
and, you know, it's great that you mentioned Battleborn, because that's the second highlight of the show for me, it was that game.
Yeah.
Again, I kind of went into this, I avoided a lot of buzz that was out there about it, because I look forward to PAX and learning about stuff at PAX. It actually gives me something to do, and I found that if I go in knowing too much, it's not as good of a show for me. I thought it was a 5v5 going, you know, something like Counter-Strike or Call of Duty, but and obviously in a different universe and everything. And it is, it'll have a 5v5 and a lot of multiplayer co-op type things available, but it's a lot more than that. At least the level that we got to play, and I played it through three times with different characters, was an absolute blast. It's kind of like an escort mission. You're playing with four other people, and each character has its own unique sets of ability and skills, and it just, everything seemed really intuitive. And I love playing ranged, and the first character I played was one called Thorn, bow and arrows. And I was not really expecting a lot of it, but I did a lot of damage. I did a lot of work in the game, and I felt like, unlike some other games where I played like elves with bow and arrows or things like that, I felt like I was actually contributing to what was going on and progressing through the storyline. It was a lot of fun. And then we had to sit down and do an interview. I'm blanking on his name right now. Can you help me with that, Gareth?
Oh, it's his name was Randy, but it's not Pitchford. I can tell you that. And it starts with V. Give me one second, and I will tell you who it is. But he is the creative director for the game. His name is Randy Varnell, and he is the director of Battleborn. And you talk about a guy with some serious energy and enthusiasm for the game. It was very refreshing.
And passion, man. This guy, you could tell, this
not was... Not a job. This was a labor of love.
Exactly. This was born, and the whole idea of this was born out of his head. And like you said, the passion, everything he was talking about it, and to find out that at launch, 25 playable characters, it really what makes you wonder what they're going to expand to after that.
Exactly.
But, I mean, he's talking, and they had many ideas, many things they could do. And I also thought that it was intriguing, the story behind the game, too, about how all of the stars in the universe have gone out except for this one. And now there's a group trying to put that last one out, too, and you're part of this group of many different species and stuff. Yeah, trying to come in and prevent them from doing that and save it and everything. And I thought, wow, this, you know, it may have been done before, but it's not something that I've heard of, and it seems like a pretty unique thing. And in this day and age, that's big, especially in the gaming world.
Exactly. And other things, of course, that we got a chance to play that were big was we got to play Uncharted, the Nathan Drake Collection, which are the PS4 enhanced versions of the first three Uncharted games, and I got to play it smooth, looked really good, played exceptionally well.
Absolutely.
And on top of that, guaranteed access to the Uncharted 4 Thieves End beta. I got to play a couple of their more casual games like Killzone, which is essentially a big MOBA. Got to play Death Drawn to Death.
Yeah, and there was my third highlight, actually. Even though it's a smaller game, that game was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you know, how could you not like it? And then, of course, there's Tearaway, which for people who are fans of the Little Big Planet series, they've also announced Sockboy is going to be in this. It's a world of paper characters and stuff like that. So think of Little Big Planet style stuff. Tearaway is essentially, imagine a third-person shooter that is done from the board drawings of a person who is stuck in a classroom lecture. So, and you know, the creative guys behind it are the folks who were essentially involved with Twisted Metal. So, really, really, really interested to see how that plays out when it does come out later this year. You know, other things, of course, that were really awesome is I got to play Just Cause 3. And anytime you can take a rocket launcher and a wingsuit and start knocking down things for, you know, points is always a plus. Let's not forget Logitech showed off the brand new headphones that come with both a wired and a wireless version. And they have really interesting little features, like you can remove the ear cups and machine wash them. What? And then put them right back on to keep your ear cups clean. Yeah, talk about that's innovative. And of course, they sound fantastic. And we're going to hopefully have a review up for those in the not too distant future. You have obviously the really impressive stuff that is coming from Nintendo, who have made some really good strides forward. We've got Splatoon, they've got some other titles coming out that look really good.
Xenoblade Chronicles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Microsoft making some progress forward. You've got Halo 5 Guardians coming out. Got to play, now of course I know this is going to be on other consoles, but we got to play Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2 was there. Believe it or not, in all places, the Skull Candy booth, even though Activision didn't have a present, Guitar Hero Live was there.
Yep.
Met with Razer, and they showed off their brand new Xbox controller that is got some aluminum enforced triggers, trigger locks. They also show you the new Naboo, not the Naboo X, proper one that they originally showed us in CES a couple of years ago. All of these are coming out in October. The hardware, I mean, SteelSeries, Turtle Beach, EVGA, MSI, all had brand new hardware. Kingston is just blowing everyone away with solid-state drives, memory, DDR3, DDR4. Corsair showed off their Bulldog, the 4K, you know, monitor systems, as well as all of these keyboards, all of these mice. So it's like a really exciting time to be a gamer, especially when you go to the NVIDIA booth, and they had all the BenQ monitors out there as well.
Yep.
You have these curving monitors and, you know, 4K monitors. It's like, get a second job or a third job or a fourth job.
Right?
Mortgage the house. Here we go.
and let me pop in there, too. Forza 6 looks amazing. That game's going to be great coming out. Star Fox Zero. Our experience with Rock Band 4 was absolutely fantastic.
Dr. Feelgood,
yeah. You know, we got, like you mentioned earlier, we got up there with the Reverend Fuego from BJ and Migs, and one of the developers was singing. I mean, it was a great and fun time. I mean, this is my fifth PAX, and it was probably by far the best.
You know, in a way, it's good that Neil was like, I'll do anything but sing. Because I'll be honest, when we got up there, he was the developer was like, what do you want to play, man? And I'm like thumbing through those things going, don't know that one, only somewhat know that one, don't know that one. And I did see one, and I was like, but the guys kill me if I do this one.
Which one?
The Outfield.
Oh, we should have done it.
Well, the problem was, I figured, you know, let's be honest, we're throwing a bone to Rev here. He's at a rock station.
That's
and I didn't think that, you know, a 80s pop rock song would go over well. I figured if he had to do something in that genre, it had to be Motley Crue or something.
But I was almost going to suggest Uptown Funk, but you know.
Oh, that would have been hysterical. See, you want to know who you have to get for that? And she will do it at home, but she won't do it there. Jed would
that?
Be really good to do that, because not only does she know all the lyrics, she knows all the dances, because she actually got in a flash mob thing for that, for an event. And she can actually do that. But like, if I ever said, hon, why don't you go up and so.
Now, the one interesting thing that I remember the developer talking to us about, and I'm really hoping that they find a way around this, is that they had to disable streaming on the PlayStation 4.
Yes.
And I'm assuming that it's the same thing they have to disable for the Xbox One, because with the Twitch app you can stream on there as well.
Right, because they said it had to do with music rights, because if you can essentially play them and stream it, it's technically a live performance of a copyrighted song.
Exactly. Which, you know, I would have thought, knowing the capabilities of these next-gen systems, that would have been worked out in the contract agreements and getting the songs onto the game anyway.
And
but
you know what I think they're going to do to get around that?
What's that?
I think they're going to pull the old Mystery Science Theater 3000. You remember how they, you know, like, you got the guys to do Mystery Science Theater 3000, went on to do Cinematic Titanic, and then you have the other side that do the riff tracks and all that, right?
Right.
Now, what does Rift Tracks do? They record an audio file that you basically, and they tell you, here's the movie to play it along to.
Well, and it depends, though, too, because sometimes they will do theater productions of the movies.
Exactly.
Like, they did it with Sharknado and Hackers and a few others.
Right, but those are things they were able to get the rights to. Now,
right.
Cinematic Titanic, basically, right there with the sound, Mystery Science Theater, they blast their stuff right on top of it. So
right.
How do they do it? Very simple. They took stuff from the public domain files. And when they eventually went to the Sci-Fi Channel, they were able to use things that the Sci-Fi Channel had access to. So, the whole nature of the show was them ripping on really bad movies. They were really bad stuff that happened to be in the public domain, meaning there wasn't a lot of copyright attachment to them. So, essentially, you had a lot of leeway about what you could do with them. And of course, there's also the parody laws that give them little bit of leeway. So what I'm wondering is if they're going to be possibly either A, cutting deals for, you know, essentially like the streaming collection. You can download it for, you know, $14.99, and here's 22 songs where we do have the rights and you can stream these.
True.
And, you know, because that'll be a big thing. I mean, I obviously know the emphasis, but that, you know, and you're right, because you hit on it so well about, they were talking about, we were so excited about the possibilities of these next generation systems, that's why we decided it was time to bring this back.
You know what's interesting,
yet,
though, is that
you throttle it down. It's like having a Porsche and keeping it in second gear.
Right.
Because you're not using one of the greatest abilities of these consoles, is their instant ability to share the content online. And I am wondering if basically what happened, and this is probably my guess, is that they'd already committed to it, the games were coming out, they've got this thing in development, and as they're securing the rights to all these things, these snags came up. And it was basically, okay, well, here's what we can do. We can scrap it, we can go back to square one and try to find all these new songs, which essentially would mean reprogramming that where we have the rights to, or we can put it out and go as we are and look to add these in at a later date.
Yeah.
Which is what I think their plan was. We've already invested all this money. People are going to buy it. There you go.
Yep. I'm sure something will come of it, but because I think that would be great. Kind of like, and I know it's really Guitar Hero's gimmick that you're performing in front of an audience and stuff like that, but it'd be really interesting to be able to see, like, the productions that some people put on when performing these songs.
Yeah, interesting. And see, and that's the thing. I had all these ideas about, oh, we're going to go out and we're going to get, costumes, and you could do this stuff, and you can have Battle of the Bands, and you can have all of this stuff, and so on and so forth, and there you go. But, you know, not the case. Not the case. So you have to kind of play along with it, and then go from there. But, there it is. That's what it is, and that's what you get. And, hopefully it'll be good enough, and hopefully we can make that work. And, of course, let's not forget Ubisoft was there with their fantastic,
their great lineup. They had the Division, they had Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which looked amazing. And I'm convinced that every other Assassin's Creed game is phenomenal. And this is the next one that's supposed to be phenomenal, so hopefully. And then one that I hadn't heard of, which looks really interesting, is called For Honor, and it's kind of a free-for-all battle thing, and at least that's what the demo looked like, where you can choose between three factions, a knight, Viking, or samurais, and you're basically fighting each other. But the graphics look amazing. The level of detail on some of the stuff looks fantastic, and that one's definitely one to look for.
Yeah. And, you know, there it is. There's so much more. We'll be recapping that down the road. Justin, do you have anything to wrap up this week?
Well, I know we didn't really talk about it, but Prometheus 2 is officially released.
Nobody cares about Prometheus, Justin. Not when you have news of a Borderlands movie.
Yes. Borderlands the movie is in a go at Lionsgate, and we've also confirmed it directly with the Head 2K PR. So, you know, guys, I think we can wear a hockey mask and run around with suspenders and get splattered. We'll volunteer. Of course, knowing our luck, they'll film it in, like, Czechoslovakia or somewhere like that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just simply a little too far of a flight for, you know, a little too far of a flight for things like that. Anyway, guys, that's going to wrap it up. If you want to get really brave, stick around and watch our epic attempt at SmackDown on Call of Duty Black Ops 3. You know, let's just say, do you remember the classic line, it's a tale of from Shakespeare, it's a tale of sound and fury signifying nothing? There you go. And I'd like to dedicate my my session to the couple of albums ago from Duran Duran, and I'll be calling mine Red Carpet Massacre, which is what I tried to call my fantasy football team this year, but it wasn't allowed to. It was too many characters, so we picked another title, which will be debuted very soon. I'd like to just close with my fantasy football situation. Our family has roped us into a league. Last year, I had the number one overall pick. I was going to go for Peyton Manning. The thing goofed up, skipped the number one overall pick, so I got shafted. For my number two pick, I picked Adrian Peterson. We all saw what happened. And things went from there. So, anyway, we're up for some action, and we'll talk to you guys.